All right, church, let's go ahead and grab our Bibles this morning and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. It's good to have you guys in church. Thank you again to our visitors for being with us, for joining us. I pray that the Lord would bless you and just encourage you this morning as we get together in His Word. As you can probably tell, I am flying solo today. My sweet wife, my Bubba Louie, she's not well. And she's watching online, sweetheart, and I can't believe I just told you what I call her. You guys, it's just a nickname that I came up with when we met. I don't call her that all the time, but it comes up every now and then. And to you young people that have no idea who Bubba Louie is, you can Google that after the service, all right? And you'll see why she's my Bubba Louie. But I pray that you feel better, sweetheart, And I'll look forward to seeing you when I get home. But we're in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. As we continue our study of the book of Ephesians on a Sunday morning, and we're looking at these two verses. And the title of the message this morning is Walk in Love, from verse number 2. Walk in Love. As I usually do, I started during the week for what God would have for me to preach on a Sunday morning, and I preached from verse number 1 last week, or actually the week before. We had Brother Hustler with us last week, and I got to verse number 2, and I don't have a plan. I just read the scripture and see what the Lord lays on my heart, and this verse, when we got to walk in love, sort of stopped me in my tracks, and I started to ponder these three words, walk in love. And I started to think in my own life, what were my assumptions about it? If I were to ask you this morning, did you walk in love this week? What would you say? It is something that we most of the time we believe that we do. And we really don't have a biblical idea of what that means. What does it mean by applying it to your own life to walk in love? And as I was thinking on these things, I go through my Saturday night routine, which is by the time Sunday morning comes around, I would have preached this message to myself probably about 3 or 4 times, and I just had this uneasy notion last night as I was thinking about this message, that and it was like the Spirit of God was saying to me, Gus, I mean, did you actually walk in love this week? You started this and you got the scriptures for it, you got the principles, and you've got all these theological doctrines in your head, and you know the scriptures about it, but did you do it this week? Because folks, when we look at walk in love, we say, did I walk in love? Well, you know, the reality is that, you know, I love the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. I love the Lord. But is this what that's talking about? Walking in the love of God. Let me tell you, beloved, it is. But it's so much more than that. And it's just a thought that I want to share with you this morning as we come to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now, we've just started over the last few weeks chapter 5, and we have established that you know, in this chapter, Paul is drawing some practical, everyday Christian living conclusions from everything that he has already taught us as we've been going through the book of Ephesians. You know, after showing us who we are in Christ in chapters 1 to 3, and how that new life should be lived out in everyday conduct in chapter 4, and how now he calls believers to this higher standard of daily living. And these verses, obviously, as we've discussed, flow out from a transformed heart, a heart that is being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that you're saved by grace and then you're renewed in your spirit of your mind and now instructed how to walk in a way that reflects our Heavenly Father and the love of Christ. And so we come here to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and look at your Bibles there with me this morning. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, just raise your hand. The ushers will get one to you. We've got plenty of Bibles in the back. And Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2 says, the Apostle Paul says there, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And we looked at that verse 2 weeks ago in great detail. And then he comes to verse number 2, and where he says, "And what? Walk in love," the title of our message. But he says this, "As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour." What is he talking about? What does that mean? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for just allowing us to have the liberty to be able to come to church and to sit under the preaching of the Word of God and to fellowship not only with each other but with you, Lord. Father, we pray that you would work among your people today, Lord. We pray that the Spirit of God would have free course in just giving us a conviction and understanding of what the Spirit saith here, what you would have us to learn and to apply to our life. As always, dear Lord, we pray that if there be one person in our midst this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they're not sure where they would end up after this life is over, one that has never truly been born again by the Spirit of God, Father, we pray that today would be the day that you show them their need to place their faith and trust completely in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Lord, would you do your work? Father, we acknowledge that the Bible teaches us that we are co-laborers with God. And Father, we can come to church and we can be faithful and we can preach the scriptures and we can serve and we can do what we do, Lord, but without your intervention, without your hand on our lives and on this ministry and in this place, Lord, it's just a waste of time. So, Father, we pray that you would make yourself, your power present here today. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Lord, please have your will and your way with this message. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. And all of God's people said,
amen.
So we come to a thought that is rather familiar to us this morning, church. In fact, you guys that have been here for a while would remember that Walk in Love was a theme for our church a few years ago. This term, Walk in Love. It is familiar to begin with because of the context of all the preaching that we have had since we started this book, including so much that we have already seen in Ephesians chapter 3 about being rooted and grounded in love and entering into the fullness of the love of God. But this morning, I'm briefly going to discuss what it means to walk in love. And again, the challenge for us this morning is, what is it supposed to look like in my life? Like, we come to this part of the verse, you know, walk in love, and we know that God wants us to walk in love, and we know the exhortation. But again, my challenge to us is, what is that supposed to look like in my life? And Lord willing, after having a look at that, I'm going to try and put that into the context in which Paul has it here. Namely, putting off the old man, the old nature, and putting on the new. So what does it mean to walk in love? For you guys that take notes, let me give you point number one. Point number one, what does it mean to walk in love? It is to live our daily life conscious of the love that surrounds us from people. So not only are you to live your everyday life conscious of the love of God towards you, and we're going to have a look at that in a second, but also conscious of the love that people have towards you. And folks, let me tell you, as a family man, how often we wake up and we're already in this mindset of what we have to do for that day, especially a day like tomorrow, like Monday. We've had the day off, and some of us will, you know, we'll get to bed tonight, and we're already thinking about the meeting that I've got on Monday morning, and that phone call that I've had, and this thing. And folks, I have a message on the church's on the church's phone. I have to ring tomorrow a Constable Ella from Maroubra Police. She just wants to talk about the building next door and you know, what's she going to say and all this. And some of us are already thinking about, and what's going to happen is we go to bed thinking these things and Monday morning comes up and we'll get up and, good morning, darling, how are you? Give your wife a kiss, your children, whatever, and you're already walking and you're already in this mood where you're trying to fix things, and not only have you not even considered the love of God for you this morning, you're not even aware of the fact that there's people in your house in that morning that would give their life for you. And already we have started the week not walking in love. It is to live our daily life conscious of the love that surrounds us from people, like parents and siblings and friends and church members and your mentors, that sort of thing. But like I just said, it is also to live our daily life conscious of the love that surrounds us from the Lord. I would encourage you tomorrow, as soon as you open your eyes, ready for the working week, ready for whatever Monday has in store, before you even get out of bed, say to the Lord, thank you for loving me unconditionally, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, tomorrow remind yourself as you start the week that you're conscious of the love that surrounds you from God. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Keeping yourselves reminded of the love that God has towards us will keep you encouraged for the Monday ahead. How many of you suffer from Monday-itis? Oof. Yeah, I'm not a Monday person. I'm definitely not a Monday morning person, right? But reminding yourself how much the Lord devotes on you, how much he has adoration for you, will keep you encouraged. It'll keep you thoughtful. It'll keep you grateful for the love God has surrounded you within your daily life. Let me tell you, church, this morning, that God's affection for you should be part of your everyday living, church. Every day. And again, I want to challenge you, listen, do you forget about that when you're at work? Do you forget about that when you're going about your day? Through the stresses of the week, through the turmoils of the week, through the everyday living, you forget the one who has his eyes and his devotion set on you. And we were reminded just last weekend of this very thing when Brother Hustler, Brother Chris, preached on the prodigal son. I mean, do you remember those? Again, if you missed those messages, it would do you well. It would behoove you to go back and to listen to those. And he reminded us of that in Luke chapter 15. I mean, let's go back to that. Think of that wayward son. Even when he was far, far from home, when he was wasting his life, when he was burdened by failure, when he was surrounded by that hardship. Listen, folks, the Father's love never ever changed for him. Oh, yes, the son had forgotten his father's affection, but the father had not forgotten his son. And when he finally came to himself and he returned, he discovered that love had been waiting for him there all along. Listen, folks, have you forgotten? Have you forgotten what you mean to God, beloved? If you're here this morning and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've been born again by the Spirit of God, listen, have you forgotten how much God loves you? That's a picture of what it means to walk in love. We don't create the love. but we must live consciously in it every single moment of our lives, every single day. And when we remember that the Father's love surrounds us, even in that far country of daily stress and working pressures and personal failures, it changes how we live. Listen, folks, it changes how we think. It changes how we respond to life's situations. Or at least it ought to. Amen? What does it mean to walk in love? It is to live our daily life conscious of the love that surrounds us from people and from the Lord. Point number two. What does it mean to walk in love as exhorted by the Apostle Paul here? It is to live our daily life expressing that love. Listen, not just of anything, but expressing that love for the right things, the right ideas, the right people. I mean, since love flows from God. Express those things. We need to live. Walking love means that we express love for those things that God brings into our life that are from Him. Folks, we should love our task for the day. We should love our task for the week. We should love our calling from the Lord. Our work. Some of you are going to go get out of bed tomorrow and go to a job, a career, a work that you despise. That's not a good way to start the week, folks. Now, I'm not saying you should be emotionally in love with your job, but you should choose to love it. You should choose to be faithful in it. Why? Because it's given to you from God. It is God's provision for you. It is God's provision for you to maintain your home and to feed your family and to put a roof over your head and to help your church and all these kinds of things. It is given to you from the Lord. So I don't say you have to emotionally be in love with it, but you should choose to love it, to be faithful in it. The reality is, folks, God gave you a means of earning an income, and God doesn't want you to do that in drudgery. He doesn't want that to be a laborious part of your week. And it's only drudgery, and it's only laborious because we're not dealing with that right up here. Because we're not walking in love with the things that God gives us. It is to live our daily life expressing love for the things that God provides for us. It is to live our daily life expressing love for our families, for our children, for our wives, for our parents, for our siblings, the people that God brings into our life. To love the things of God, to love the lost and the broken that we meet along the way. I mean, do we begin to understand this point, folks? To walk in love means living our daily life, expressing love for the things that God loves. Being thankful to God. You know, in Luke chapter 10, the parable of the Good Samaritan is the perfect illustration of this. It's a parable that is well known. You've been a Christian any amount of time, you would know this story in Luke chapter 10. And in that parable, the priest and the Levite saw that wounded and beaten up man that was you know, robbed of these thieves and pounded to an inch of his life and left for dead there on the side of the road. And along comes the priest and this Levite, these men of renown, and they see this wounded man. And the Bible tells us in this parable that they didn't walk in love towards the right thing. I mean, I'm sure that when I read this illustration, I'm sure that they thought that this Levite and this priest, that they thought that they were walking in the love of God. I mean, after all, folks, they were God's people. They were God's servant. But let me tell you, folks, their love was misdirected. Their love was misdirected towards things like comfort. It's too much to deal with. Not on a Monday morning. Amen. It was misdirected to people over position, reputation, and misdirected to religious routine. And along comes this Samaritan man. And he expressed love where God's heart was towards the broken, the hurting, and the overlooked. Listen, folks, that Samaritan man didn't just feel compassion. He didn't just feel a way, he acted on it. He gave of his time and he gave of his resources and he gave of his effort and he even gave of his future convenience. Folks, that's what it means to walk in love. Not loving just anything, but loving what God loves. Mercy over ease and obedience over convenience. In other words, church, walking in love means we move through our daily life actively expressing love for the things that God loves. Again, our calling and our families, the work that He has given us, His truth and the lost and the broken that He puts in our path, just as Jesus did. I mean, fair dinkum, folks, at the end of the day, don't say that you walk in love if your priorities for daily living are all wrong. I mean, Pastor, how do you know what my priorities are? It comes out, folks, in the choices that we make. So what does it mean to walk in love? One, it is to live our daily life conscious of the love that surrounds us from people and the Lord. It is to live our daily life expressing that love. And thirdly, to walk in love means to be motivated in all that we do by that love. Listen, folks, at the end of the day, I mean, ask yourself, what is the motivation for you to even get out of bed tomorrow? What is it that is driving you? It's a thing that, you know, I talked to Kurt and we've just recently discussed is how it's a battle that every Christian faces. What drives us? You know, on a Sunday morning, we'll open our eyes and we'll have a runny nose and all of a sudden, we just won't come to church. We're sick. By the way, I'm not advocating come to church if you're sick. I'm advocating that examine yourself how sick you really are. Amen? Because if that runny nose doesn't keep you from work on Monday, why did it keep you from church on Sunday? And again, it's about what has motivated you to make those decisions. And I want you to understand in this third point how all of this contrasts with the old nature, with the old character. Folks, the Christian life is one of absolute contrast, of one of absolute difference with the life of the lost person. Your new life in Christ should be contrasted, should be vastly different from before you were saved, from before you called on the Lord. I was just speaking with someone yesterday. Folks, good works are not a mark of salvation. You don't do good works because you're saved. We don't do them as a testimony. They're naturally for the saved person. But my challenge to this person was that, listen, a person that calls on the Lord for salvation, that is born again by the Spirit of God, that has to manifest itself, that has to show itself in a person's life in some way. So I'm not going to sit there and judge someone, oh, they don't go to church and they don't do this and they don't do that, they don't serve either, and so they must not be saved. I don't know that. But sure, that person that called on the Lord should be vastly different in nature and in character than before they called on the Lord. How? I don't know. That's between them and the Lord. But there should be some difference. The motivation that you have to get out of bed tomorrow should be different from the person that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lost people, main motivation, I'm not saying 100%, but lost people's main motivation for what they do is mostly emotional. They do what they do because what they do makes them happy. And they don't do what they don't do because that doesn't make them happy. And that is the general rule for life. And that is why you will find that the lost person's life is always unbalanced for them. There's always a struggle. Because the reality is we live in a world that all they want to do is be what? Be happy. They want to be happy. And let me tell you, my dear church, being happy can't be the motivation for life if you're a Christian. And some of you are still enticed to live for being happy and nothing but happy. And so you struggle. Well, what happens? What happens when things happen in life? The circumstances arise and things pop up in your life that aren't conducive to giving you happiness. What happens then? When sickness comes up. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Amen. You know my history. When you have family problems and family issues, when you have financial problems and pressures and everything else that's involved in daily living that is not conducive to happiness. Happiness goes out the window, and our life is a bit of a disaster. That is the way that they exist. And we are not meant to, or folks, listen, we are not built to live like that. Have you ever noticed them? Have you noticed the people in your workplace, that people bring in your path that are lost, that just don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they don't have that faith that you have? Have you noticed them? I mean, have you actually ever really stopped and noticed them? Have you in here noticed them? Some of us need to go back and read what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. See, there was a time when the wisest man that ever lived, and God attributes that to Solomon, where he took time to actually stop and look around at the people that he had some jealousy about and some envy about. And he saw how they were living. They weren't sick. They had happiness abounding out of their life. They had everything that the life could afford to them, and they had money, and they had power. And here is Solomon contemplating all these things. And then the Bible says, and then Solomon had a realization. What was that? He contemplated their end. But it doesn't matter how happy people are. The world around them is falling apart. And he's trying to go from one form of happiness to another. That's how they exist. I have a young man at my secular work that keeps asking me questions and questions and questions, or you know, all about this and in our faith and all about that and the things that he wants to know about what the Lord considers sin and what the Lord doesn't consider. And what he's doing is, I know a little bit about his life. He's trying to find that joy. He's trying to find the joy of the Lord without the Lord who provides it. You can't have it. You can't have it without the Lord, folks. There's no fellowship for him. There's no friendliness. There's no companionship with his creator. And so you go, you bounce from one happy moment to the other, broken with moments of grief and despair. There's no communion for him. There's no communication, this joint participation, sharing with his God. As the Bible says, there's no concord. There's no harmony, symphony with the one that gave him life. He has no part, no portion given to him of the Lord of life. He's not in agreement with his God. God doesn't condone and agree with the way that the lost person lives. I am sick to the back teeth, folks, of people assigning that God just loves everything. I mean, yesterday in our beloved Sydney, we had what Brother Hustler calls the Festival of Filth being celebrated. Oh, and God just loves any two people that love each other. Baloney! And if you truly believe that, you haven't really read the Bible, folks. If you really want to know what God thinks of last night, go and read Romans chapter 1. I'm not telling you about it. You go read it for yourself. I'll even dare say you can go read it out of any Bible, Romans chapter 1. And then see. Let me extend that. God doesn't condone and agree with the Christian that wants to live life however they want. So in that context, which is this entire section is in, how is this revealed in the phrase, walk in love? Folks, because the lost man lives his life, his walk, in the complete opposite of how we should. Completely opposite of how we should. So I want to encourage you. You want to walk in love? Stop desiring that. Stop desiring to walk that way. Stop desiring to live that life. It's vastly different to what you and I ought to be walking in and thinking. I mean, let me give you some things here. Why? The lost person walks unthinking and ungrateful of others' care for him. Completely the opposite. His main desire is, like we said, his love for himself. Can I get you to turn that on? In the reference that I just gave you, Romans chapter 1, did you notice how the dissension of Romans chapter 1 starts with ingratitude? It starts with ingratitude. Let me read that to you. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which they..." Verse number 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And look at verse number 21. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." And then the Bible says what? "Neither were they thankful." That's how it starts. They just weren't thankful. God manifested himself. God showed them himself. They are without excuse. And they weren't thankful. That's where it starts. Unthankful for the love that surrounds them from people and from their God. "But became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And so the Romans chapter 1 continues on and on and on. But where did that start? With an unthankful heart. If you are going to walk in love, my beloved friend, you better get up tomorrow and be thankful for everything that God has given you. Everything. The lost person tomorrow will most likely get up and their endeavor will be, "I need to praise myself. I need to make sure that I have enough self-esteem tomorrow." That's always a corker for me. People complain, "Oh, that person is affecting my self-esteem, Brother Kurt. He's toxic." The day that a born-again child of God is affected here and here because of someone else's here, that's a sad day, folks. Their endeavor tomorrow will be to please himself. Their endeavor tomorrow is to reward himself, to endeavor is to advance himself, to pursue his own happiness, his own way. Again, the epitome of Isaiah 53 in verse number 6. You know the verse. "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." His own way. "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." So he walks unthinking, ungrateful of others' care for him and of the Lord. Yes. Subpoint number 2, he cannot love others because he has no access to God. He's thinking primarily of himself. He's thinking of others. If he's thinking of others at all, it is in relation to himself. What is generally the way that people will explain their friend and that relationship, or "I love them and they're good to me and I get along well with them because they make me happy. It's about them. They make me happy. It's all about how can I help and how can I love and how can I give to those around me versus how can I get from those around me what I want." It's ministry versus manipulation, folks. His motivation for all that he does is love for what he wants. Again, sharing with someone yesterday, I came to Christ. I was born again by the Spirit of God at 28 years old. I was a good guy, but this describes me to a T. My motivation was to get what Gus wanted. My motivation for life is what will make Gus happy. And so we chase those things. The lost person is trying to funnel everything around him towards him versus finally God, funneling God to everyone else around him. Motivated by self-love. folks, usually ends up in hatred of those around me who do not love me as much as I want, as much as I need, as much as I deserve, as I judge it. If you're going to walk in love, church, if we truly want to apply Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 to our life, walk in love, it's a direction for you, it's an encouragement for you. But listen, church, it is not about you. It's about you being a channel for God to express His love to people. It can't be self-centered. That's what it means to walk in love. Let me give you those 3 points. What does it mean to walk in love? 1, it is to live our daily life conscious of the love that surrounds us from people and the Lord. It is to live our daily life expressing that love, and it is to be motivated in all we do by the love of God being channeled through us. Those 3 things apply to your life every single day, every single moment really means that we're walking in love. Let me close. We're done. The life of a saved person and the life of a lost person, 2 entirely different lives springing from the differences in love, folks. Myself, which ends in hatred, versus the Lord, which ends with others. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How? How will they know if you are a follower of Jesus Christ? If you have love one to another. I recently heard of a thief who broke into a Christian's home who owned a gun. And the Christian confronted the thief at the end of his double-barrel shotgun. And his declaration to this would-be intruder was, I would not hurt you nor harm you, but you are standing where I'm about to shoot. Please leave my home so you don't get in the way of the shell. Okay, that's just an illustration. But it should be the way we handle God's love, folks. Declaring to one and all, you are standing where I'm about to love, and you're going to be the recipient of it. You choose. You choose to be a conduit for the Lord to work in people's life. Remember, church, I have challenged you already in the weeks past. I want you to ask yourself, have I become a walking fire hose dispensing the love of God everywhere I go? And when I do, it changes everything about my own life. Why? Because when I got saved, He changed everything about my life. And I'm supposed, and you're supposed to live like it. Let me remind you one last time, and we really are. Church, listen, the difference between a saved life and a lost life is not church attendance. It's not a vocabulary. It's not even morality. It is the love of God. 2 entirely different lives flow from 2 entirely different loves. One life is driven by self, and it always ends up in disappointment, in frustration, and eventually bitterness towards others, and we see that. And the other life is driven by the Lord, and it always moves outwards towards people, towards service, and towards sacrifice. That's what it means to walk in the love of God. So let me challenge you plainly. What do your choices say that you love? What do your choices declare to your Lord? What are you walking in? What do your priorities say you are chasing? Folks, your priorities are never revealed by what you claim. They are revealed by what you choose, where you spend your time, where your money goes, what captures your affection, what you protect, what you pursue. That tells the truth every single time. I see it every time I minister to people. Walking in love means living daily conscious of God's love towards you. Walking in love means actively expressing love for what God loves. Walking in love means being motivated in all that we do by His love. And Jesus said it plainly in John 13:35. I'll repeat it to you again. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one to another. The world will not recognize us by our arguments, folks, by our preferences or our happiness, but by the way you treat people, the way you love people. You should be looked at differently and weirdly, folks. And if you blend in, and if you're one, and no one knows, no one calls you out on your differences, folks, beloved, you're not walking in love. So here's the question you must take with you this morning. Am I living as a walking conduit of God's love, or am I still funneling life towards myself? Have I become, as we said a moment ago, a walking fire hose dispensing the love of God wherever I go? Because when the love of God governs your walk, it changes how you respond, it changes how you serve, how you endure hardship, and how you treat people who can't do anything for you in return. You don't walk in love to become saved. You walk in love because you have been saved. And if Christ truly changed everything about your life, if Christ truly has transformed you into a new creature, folks, then you're meant to live in it. You're meant to live like it. Amen? Let's stand, let's pray, and we'll be done. Let's stretch our legs. I want to challenge you in our final prayer. And if God has spoken to your heart this morning, as we pray, just reach out to God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you thankful for the love that you've shown us in Christ. A love that sought us when we were lost. A love that forgave us when we were guilty. And a love that changed us when we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Thank you, Lord, that we do not earn your love, but that we are invited to live in it every single day. And Lord, we confess that there are times that we have not walked in love. We have made choices driven by self, by comfort, choices we've made that were driven simply by pure emotion and by what makes us happy, rather than by what honors you. We have loved the wrong things in the wrong order for the wrong reasons. And forgive us, Lord, for the ways our priorities have drifted at times. And today, Father, we choose differently. We ask you, Lord, to realign our hearts and our decisions. Help us to walk consciously in the love of God, in the love you have poured out on us, and to express that love towards the people that we come in contact with, the people at work, the people at the shops, the people we deal with. Help us to express that love in the calling that you have placed in our lives. And Lord, teach us to love our families well. Teach us to serve faithfully where you have planted us, to care for the broken and the lost you bring across our path, and to love your truth above our own preferences, Father God. Lord, would you guide our choices this week? Lord, guide us in how we speak, how we respond, how we spend our time, and how we treat others. Father, let our love be seen not just in words, but in action and in truth. Make us a people whose walk matches our profession and whose lives reflect your heart. Father, we offer you we offer ourselves to you again, asking that your love would flow through us freely and abundantly, not for our glory, but for yours. Help us to live as those who have truly been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And may others know, Lord, that we are your disciples, not by what we say, but by the love they see in us. And we commit this to you in Jesus' most precious, wonderful name. And all of God's people said,